It's the Grandstand, season 6, episode lucky 13. I can't believe we're at 13. What's up, P Money? It's your boy F Knowles.
What's up? Ni hao. We're going to China.
Wow. Nice. You always straight like up. To, yeah, you, the king of saying the country we're going to one liners. Yeah. He knows how to say hello in every language of on the F1 circuit.
Might have to Google that one once we get to like Budapest or something. Cause not so fluent in those.
We can ask our boy Costa that one.
Yes.
Yeah, his wife's Hungarian. She knows. And does he speak any Hungarian actually?
He does. They've actually been to the race a couple of times. So yeah,
That's right.
You could definitely help us on that. But we get to that later.
Yeah. But this year we're back in China for the first time since COVID, since 2019, first time in 5 years.
Damn.
Kind of nuts to think about how the world has changed since the last Chinese Grand Prix.
My God, 5 years ago.
Ooh. Yeah, pretty nuts. But
kind of reminds you of the days when Merck was still a winning team, huh?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Sorry. A little early in the episode to poke the bear.
Yeah, well, speaking of poking the bear, there's a pretty funny photo. I don't know how recent this photo was, but there's a photo that popped into my life that then I shared with our little Formula One group of Kelly Piquet holding a child that looked very similar to Max Verstappen. and just at first I was like, wait a second, is that Kelly Piquet's kid with Danny Kvyat? And turns out that it was actually just Max's niece, his sister's kid. But it then got us talking about, has anybody checked in on Danny Kvyat lately? Like, can you imagine if that, like, this photo is absurd? It's like the kid looks like is a spitting image of a Verstappen. Like there's no doubt that it is a Verstappen.
Is it Max's sister's kid then?
Yeah, his sister's kid.
Just a quick recap for those of you who might not know who Danny Kvyat is. He was a Red Bull driver and a Toro Rosso driver. And when Max came into F1, Max was at Toro Rosso, took Danny Kvyat's seat at Red Bull, won his first race ever starting for Red Bull, then went on to do what he did at Red Bull, stole Kvyat's girlfriend too at the time, aka Nelson Piquet's granddaughter, and now is currently living with her and the child that Kvyat and Piquet had prior to that breakup.
Isn't it his daughter?
Yeah, it's Kvyat's daughter, right?
It's Kelly Piquet. Kelly Piquet is not the granddaughter of Nelson Piquet Jr.
Oh, is it the daughter? Yeah,
You said granddaughter. It's his daughter.
The daughter, yeah. Piquet was racing in the 70s. Yeah, that makes sense. That checks out. Yeah, and I was gonna say, like, it meant the kid, the Max has just taken so much. Like, if Kvyat's daughter started looking like Max, like, that would just be super fucking weird.
Yeah, get him on an episode of Maury.
My God.
Not the father.
I'm so sorry, Kvyat, but you're definitely not the dad. The one thing you thought you had,
just the thoughts that went through my mind, I just was like, somebody needs to do a wellness check on Danny Kvyat.
Yeah, we're checking up on him. He's racing in endurance. He's going to be in endurance this year. So definitely no longer on the F1 radar. He tried to hang on to that, but
Oof. The torpedo. He had some torpedo moments in China. I think China is actually where the torpedo nickname came from.
Exactly.
Classic. But in other news off track since we went racing last, we got this completely wrong. I re-listened to our episode from last week. We were saying Fernando's still going to play the game. And I think it was like 2 days after we released our last episode. Guess what he does? He signs a multi-year deal through 2026 with Aston Martin and Lawrence Stroll.
Yeah. I was a little surprised.
I was too.
At first, because I think like any F1 fan these days, I wanted to see Alonso in a Red Bull to see what he could do. But
pipe dream.
Yeah, I mean, you got Lewis going to Ferrari, so like anything is possible now. But, you know, looking back on it, I know you had some choice words for Papa Stroll, saying, you know, he's got to put his money where his mouth is. And I think, you know, these things take time, but it's also credit to that project. And I think Alonso sees potential in it. And whether or not, you know, there's the whole thing of like, are they going to get Newey or not? And whether they do or not, they're poaching a lot of Red Bull people, a lot of good engineers, aerodynamic people. So I think that's it's a solid vote of confidence for Aston Martin looking forward, going forward. So watch out. I think we can finally say that Alonso is not going to cheat on this team, and he's going to like see this out, and he'll probably retire there and get like an ambassador role, aka shitloads of money, and continue to be Stroll Jr. driving coach, I think, after.
I mean, I thought it's funny. That's not the take I thought you were going to give on this. and you, when you said to me before we recorded the episode, I've got some takes on Aston Martin, the institution. I was like, oh boy, somebody's gonna let that team have it. No, somebody's gonna go on an old school grandstand F Knowles rant.
No. I actually think, like, you know, it's hard. No one's winning right now except for Red Bull and Ferrari sometimes. So I think it's good to see Alonso stick to a team for once and see it out.
I agree.
And maybe we'll find out he never had an option, but I feel like he did. And he's committing to it. That's the word I was looking for. Committing. Yeah. He's got commitment issues. So
there's no way in the world he doesn't have some sort of out clause in that contract. Let's just be real. Come on. You know, it's true, but
yes. Yeah. So it's not over yet.
Yeah. It's no, don't
could still get silly.
Yeah. Still could get silly, but we'll see. But before we've got a race to talk about, first time in China in 5 years. Mm. I want to roll the intro. Got some things to talk about for this weekend's race.
I am stupid. I am stupid. Bring back the fucking V12s.
You're too old to have driven here, really. Shame you wasn't fast enough to get to Formula One.
All the time you have to live and face.
Fuck them all. More ladies in the paddock. There's too many dudes in the paddock.
Yes! Woo! Oh yeah, dude, that Danny Rick and that on the intro always gets me a little chubby. Well, just, you know,
yeah, it works, hyped. Man.
It does work. That was the point. You know, if you're feeling a little slow, a little ho hum, a little grim, that intro is meant to get you a little chubbed up and excited about race weekend.
Yeah, a little throwback to the DR3 good days, right?
Ooh. Yeah, well, throwback. We're going back to a track that we haven't been to in 5 years. We've said it a few times now, but China's always been a fun one, actually, through its history.
Yeah, it's one of those tracks. I mean, it's that turn one and two, like that little snail, always has a lot of action there, especially at the start. And we do have a sprint race this weekend as well, so we're gonna have a lot more racing. You know, they're trying to make up for not going there for 5 years because of the whole COVID thing and everything.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that because Max this past week was pretty critical of the sprint format being used in China for the given that we haven't raced there in 5 years. So teams are relying on past data, which itself, I just said data.
Interesting. Yeah.
No, never. I'm a data guy. Usually I'm not a data guy.
Yeah. What's the schedule this week for the sprint race?
I'm no Sky Sports prick.
Yeah. Clearly if you miss the Knowles Sky rant, check out the last episode.
Yeah. I ain't no Crofty. Just gratuitous Crofty slander. But dude, so there's a new track surface. We haven't been racing there in a minute.
Love it.
And Max was pretty critical of the sprint format because drivers are only going to have 60 minutes to practice before they qualify.
Love that.
You know, it's funny. I found myself to a certain extent agreeing with Max at first. I was like, you know what? He's kind of right. Like, drivers should get more time on this. But the more and more I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? And it was funny because I watched, there's an interview that happened, I think it was either last year or a year before, I can't remember exactly when, but it's this interview with NASCAR drivers and who are sponsored by Shell and Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc. And the NASCAR drivers basically tell the F1 drivers like how little time they have to practice before they have to go into qualifying for a race. And they're like, Carlos and Charles are sitting there like, what? You only get, I don't even know what it was, like 30 minutes of practice time on track before they have to go in and qualify. And they're like, how do you get any information on the car? Like all this stuff. And this is kind of like that.
Isn't 30 minutes enough for them to have like a couple beers and get in the car? I mean, yeah. It's pretty good, right?
pretty basic car when it's compared to the F1 car, but completely different. It's apples in like broccoli, basically comparing the two of those. But
Wow. So you agree with Max? I don't know. I mean, honestly,
No.
Ask me that again. Oh, you said at first, right?
At first I did, but the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, you know what? This sounds like Max.
Yes.
Max complaining because he's not going to have it kind of levels the playing field in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Where like, okay, well, if it is what it is, like, and he's never really liked the sprint in the first place.
Yeah, he doesn't like the sprint because there's, you know, more opportunities for, you know, getting locked up in an accident, lap one, getting in something unnecessary. But also I think he fears that if his team goes down the wrong direction, then they're kind of screwed for the whole weekend. And if you ask me on our next episode, what I think, it'll depend also on the result for me. Because if Red Bull comes in and just crushes it, I'll say like, well, who gives a fuck? It didn't change anything. If Ferrari tears it up, then I'll be like, man, we should have sprints all the time. but it doesn't work like this, right? It doesn't, like, one team doesn't do well when they have little track time compared to others. So it'll be kind of like a bit of a lottery, rolling the dice. And I think since we haven't been there in a while, the resurfacing, we could have a lot of grip issues. Yeah, it could be it's definitely hard to predict this weekend. So I understand his feeling, but also
I understand it, but
very entertaining.
Yeah, but also like, you know what? Sounds convenient for you to say that in this moment. Cuz no, I don't hear any other drivers saying it. I had to bring that one up cuz it does beg the question though, just across the grid, like, you know, is it the right place to be doing a sprint race, given we haven't raced in a long time. But I think it's going to make for some entertainment, at least fingers crossed that it will. Interestingly enough, though, McLaren are saying that they may have to limit damage control going into China this weekend. And I'm a little curious by that statement from them. And does it bode well for some other teams, like your favorite team, Ferrari? That's my Italian accent when I say Ferrari, by the way.
But what you didn't see was the hand gesture you did.
No, I'm looking at the statement. But I'm curious because they don't seem to like this track for the car that they have.
I'll tell you why. Remember when Piastri kept Hamilton behind him? I think it was the beginning of the year. He couldn't pass him. I think it was in Saudi. It's because they have very poor straight line speed, and this track has huge straights on it, right? So if you're not fast on the straight, this track, it's gonna be tough to get the lap time. And I think another team that's kind of worried is Merck this weekend as well. So both those teams, interestingly enough, will probably be nervous about this whole thing and probably pray for some rain. But yeah, teams like Red Bull that have a great DRS effect and Ferrari that does well on the straights, I can understand that McLaren is going to be nervous, because compared to those teams, they're not going to be able to compete as much as they would have maybe on other tracks, like maybe Suzuka.
Well, this is the direct quote from Andrea Stella. He was just saying that they haven't been able to improve the car in low speed, medium speed, long corners, which this track has a lot of. And that coming, like going into those corners and then into a straight, like you can't pick up that straight line speed as well, because you're just like kind of recovering from there. But
it's true. Yeah. It's true that that's their Achilles heel. They were talking about it since last year, the slow speed corners. Yeah. And imagine like putting a slow speed corner right before a straight, then you're kind of paying that price throughout the whole straight.
Exactly. I mean, and so that's the thing, like, does it, it's interesting that McLaren would come out and publicly say that, because I do think it plays into Ferrari's hand a little bit, and it does beg the question, doesn't give Ferrari the opportunity to maintain this current form?
Yeah. Also, you know, it's kind of like lowering expectations. McLaren's pretty pretty good at not, you know, hyping themselves up too much and kind of just being straight with their fans. And so I think that's pretty good.
Unlike another team we know that we're about to talk about.
Wait, yeah. You know what? I'm going to stop this bashing here, because I think Ferrari is a different team. The last 18 months, Ferrari's looking, we're doing our jobs. We're not claiming anything. All we're saying is we're trying to get closer to Red Bull, and we had a 1-2 in Melbourne, so fuck you.
Did you just tell me to stop this bashing?
Okay, we'll get into Merck later.
All right, well, listen, man, we've acknowledged where Merck's at, but I do wonder, do you think Ferrari can take advantage of that this weekend?
Yes, and don't ask me if I think Ferrari's going to challenge for the win, because it's really hard right now. Will they be, and as you said, like, we don't have much data on Shanghai track for the last few years, and so we don't know how good Red Bull will be. So and if Red Bull does slip and McLaren's not up there, then it could be round two for Ferrari to pick up the pieces, or not. You know, it could go also completely in a different direction and McLaren might pull one out of nowhere. But I think that this would be a good track for Ferrari to get a podium at least. So I think Ferrari's going to this weekend thinking pretty strong. They're not thinking they're going to win, but they're thinking this could be a good track.
Yeah, I mean, last time we were out, and these cars are completely different than last time we were out in China, but last time we were out, Seb finished P3 and Charles finished P5. So means absolutely nothing going into this race. But I just thought I'd say it.
Yeah, because last time we went out, Merck had a 1-2. So
yeah, yep. And Max finished P4. But different car, different era, different drivers. Valtteri, yeah. Valtteri was still at Merck. It's crazy, man. It's wild to think that it's been that long since we were in China. But speaking of another team, yeah, we mentioned them. My boys, Freudian slip. Whoa. No, I meant to say No.
Are we in 2025 yet? Whoa,
don't even. No,
definitely,
no.
Definitely going to clip that.
Did I?
You sure did, my friend.
No, I didn't. We're editing that out of the episode.
Just so happens I'm editing it, so I will keep it in there.
Anyway, Mercedes.
Let it happen, man. Let it happen.
Just slowly turn red. I'm already red. Like, I'm going to get a sunburn this weekend because I'm going to the Long Beach Grand Prix, and I'm just going to be red. I don't tan.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I'll paint a little like horse on me. And I'll just have a sunburn, and with a little prancing horse. But anyway, Mercedes. Again, who knows with them right now? Like, this is it's literally like I'm Slim Shady. I'm Slim Shady. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
I was just thinking about that song.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about it, I feel like that was in my which Merck is going to show up, right? What are your thoughts? Like, how do you feel as a Merck fan?
I don't know. I'm feeling a little optimistic. I'm not like, there's no like signs that say I should change my opinion of where things are at with them. I mean, what's interesting is there was a story that came out this morning that Merck is the first F1 team to exceed a 500 million pound turnover, meaning year to year they have exceeded over 500 million pounds in revenue, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's huge
to think about. The sport is growing, but that has nothing to do with what's happening on track. It's not. They also had a more profitable year from 2022 to 2023, so clearly. Sometimes money doesn't solve all your problems. And right now that seems to be the case. I'm getting to a point where I'm kind of like where like Ferrari fans should have been a few years back, where it's like our expectations should be lower. Like we were winning for such a long time, you know, as if I'm like an employee of Mercedes. The team, I mean, whatever, you know, fans are fans, but Mercedes was winning for so long. I think there's an expectation that that should just keep happening, and now it's not. And now I think from my perspective, as a Merc fan, as a Lewis fan, it's like, it's one race at a time, man. Like there's no need to set expectations like, oh yeah, we're going to do that. Like if they finish on the podium, that's going to be I'll be happy. Let's put it that way. But yeah, I'm not expecting that.
Also, it doesn't help when Toto Wolff is after every race says like, oh, we should have been on the podium. If this had happened and that had happened, we would have been up there. And it seems like he's the one who's doing a lot of claims these days.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, the last few years. Like, when we change the concept, we're going to be up there. I'm like, bro, just let it happen, man. It's like, don't be obsessed with that. You'll get there. Maybe. The thing is, I said this on the last podcast. I don't think Merck is that far off. I think they had a bit of a breakthrough in terms of setup. They said that their car works really well in certain windows of temperature, and it seems like it's going to be a little cooler in Shanghai. And if they're right, the Merc shouldn't be too bad on this track this weekend. But then again, it's so hard to predict because sometimes Merc will get a pole lap out of nowhere like they did in the last couple of years, and then they'll be nowhere. So yeah, it's kind of like it's hit or miss with them. I feel like their sweet spot is so hard to find, but who knows? Maybe they hit the ground running on Friday and nail for their sprint race. Could be fun, man. It'd be interesting to see them, and maybe Lewis will actually give a shit if the car is doing well this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have to say this, you know, last time we raced in China, F1 was a different sport and everybody bitched and moaned about Mercedes and their dominance or whatever you want to claim that it was, but it was still much more exciting than watching Max win every weekend.
I guess that's, you know, you'd have to have that debate with a Max fan because those Merc years were pretty fucking boring.
I don't know about that. I mean, the races had much more drama, but whatever. I'm not going to, I don't want to live in the past, right? Yeah, totally brought it up, but like, whatever, right? Yeah. 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 You know what? Michael Massey, too. Like, where's that shithead? Going full Toto.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Do you think Toto is going to invite, like, if, do you think, I wonder what happens when Toto sees Michael Massey, if they've seen each other, but, anyway, I think with Merc though, again, I think my expectations are at a point at now where it's like, if we get a podium, it's a good weekend. And that just has to be more consistent. It is what it is. And Lewis is leaving, you know, I'm a Lewis fan before anything. That's just the way it is, guys. Deal with it. And, yeah, we'll see what next year has to bring, but yeah, I don't know. Another team though, I do want to just briefly bring up, and it's weird to go from Mercedes to this team.
Because no transition whatsoever.
No transition. Well, because there's no. I keep bringing up Mercedes in conversations with teams that are fighting for, you know, the last positions.
Yeah, you've been comparing Mercedes to Alpine.
I was not. No.
The team structures.
Not comparing, but more just expectations versus reality is more what we're comparing. And another team that I think has been doing decently at picking up or taking advantage of the woes of other teams has been Haas. And Gene Haas came out recently and said that he's invested in F1 as long as it doesn't waste his money, which to me is kind of a like just absolutely ridiculous thing to say. It's like F1 is a waste of money. Like in the end, like if you're just investing your personal money in it, like come on.
Yeah. Is he talking about his business? Like, is he going to sell more tools?
I don't know what the context of it. It's like, well, you haven't been competitive for years. So what do you define as a waste of money, Gene?
Interesting because, you know, there's a lot of talk about certain teams maybe wanting to sell. All of this is rumors, right? And maybe he's, you know, putting feelers out there to see, like, if anyone wants to buy this team, I'll sell it for a price because clearly I need my monies. I don't know. I think that Haas is doing well on track this year for once. I was going to say, like, it's been a minute since Haas has been competitive, and it feels good. And it feels good to see them fighting for the points. It's hard to get those last points scoring positions. And I'm going to focus on what happens on track. I don't really have much to say about Gene Haas's comments, to be honest. If he wants to leave, it wouldn't be the biggest loss for F1.
No, it wouldn't be. But I think it's interesting to see that Haas has been, I mean, they're sitting in seventh right now in the constructors. We don't really talk about them on this podcast, but it's been, I think they're in a better position than they have been in years past. And I just thought it was interesting that Gene Haas would come out and say something like that when, like, they've followed a very specific model for how they structured their team financially. And that model, like, clearly doesn't yield results in this sport. Like it just had, like, as far as like consistently winning at the top, it just doesn't do it. So, you know, another situation where like yielding results at the top and someone who needs a result quick though, you know, yes. Who I'm about to talk, you know the name.
Yeah. I mean, he hypes us up in the intro, but
he does. His name's Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it. I was like, you say it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk down on our boy, but man, we can keep this one quick. But Danny Rick, like, I think the two of us agreed. Dude needs a result and he needs it fast. His Formula One career is genuinely hanging in the balance right now. And I watched Julian Palmer's analysis from last week's incident with Alex Albon. And the more I look at it, like, it's a racing incident, but Danny Rick is fully at fault.
Yeah. Which, if it was, yeah, I agree. That's what I was saying last episode. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where you got the data from. I guess you're watching Palmer in his data. British accent. Yeah, I said it on the last episode. I think Danny Rick is, he needs the result. He needs it fast, and he needs to put Yuki back in place if he wants to still be relevant, to be honest, in F1. It's brutal,
yep.
But that's the way it is. And he knows it. He doesn't need anyone to tell him that. He's a big boy. He came back to RB in order to take Checo's seat. And so far, it's not looking like that's even a remote possibility for next year. So
yeah, not even close.
It all starts by rebuilding, taking it slow, maybe. It's definitely not the fastest car in the field. But hey, if he can put some results, definitely needs to be this teammate and show something. And he's going to have a sprint race and a race. So let's see. Hopefully those two go well for him.
Yeah. He does typically do well in the sprints.
He does. Yeah.
When, he likes again, a sprint.
Yeah. When he has the car to his liking. Let's see.
Yeah. But he's having a rough go of it. I wish him the best this weekend. I would really like to see him getting the points. He's won at this track in the past. So let's see if he can recreate some magic.
2018. He was breaking so late into that last
monster
turn.
That yeah. race.
My God. Go watch those highlights. What a fucking race that was. Yeah.
That's where he kind of built his legend at this race in 2018.
Yeah. That's when Seb spun a couple times, I remember. Yep. Yeah. That was a very entertaining race.
It really was. Yeah. But I think, listen, Danny Rick's having a hard season, but there is two teams that we also, well, one team that we talk about quite a bit and another team I don't think ever really talk about are Alpine and Sauber. And going into the Chinese Grand Prix, I just want to throw this out here, but who is having a worse season? Alpine or Sauber?
Yeah. Alpine, clearly. Okay. I'll tell you why. Because Alpine is a constructor, meaning that they build their engine and their car. They shouldn't be where they are. I think they're in last place currently.
They are in last place, yes.
Sauber is a historic team that has been, you know, it's a historically independent private team and now is transitioning to become a huge constructor themselves in Audi in 26. And they're kind of in a transition phase right now. So I'm not expecting much out of them. And their car actually kind of looks good on track when in terms of pace. And if they have this wheel nut problem at pit stops, which makes them lose 30 seconds every time, and it's getting better. And once they figure that out, I think you could see them fighting with Haas and RB for those points. Alpine, though, on the other hand, I feel like it's hard for them to get out of Q1. It's like a miracle. when Ocon got into Q1, got through to Q2 last weekend, last race, he almost saw it as a victory, you know. So I think Alpine needs to get their shit together because there are rumors of them wanting to sell, and it doesn't, Yikes. yeah doesn't fare well for them from the outside. So, and they were on upward trends last year. I don't know what's going on, but then again, you know, they have been putting in a lot of work for updates and everything. So they're getting better, but when you start off so far, it's hard to ever make all that gap up. So
yeah,
I would say Alpine for sure is definitely having a worse season, but they can also, they have the potential to turn around more.
I agree. I think it's pretty clear that it's Alpine. I think Sauber just has like these Sauber kick steak, whatever. Another team that just has a mouthful of sponsors. I'm just calling them Sauber for the rest of the season. Like the expectations weren't that they were going to be a top team. You know, I don't think that was ever the anyone's expectation for them. Alpine, on the other hand, I think, yeah, you're right. It's just like, nothing's gone right yet. They're a constructor and they just haven't done it.
No,
they just haven't done it. And it's embarrassing for the entirety of the French nation.
Yeah. Not to sorry, change, bro. Not to change the subject on that, but yeah. Guan Yu Zhou's home race, first home race going to Shanghai.
Oh, that is, yeah. Is kind he of from a big Shanghai? Deal.
He is. He grew up in Shanghai. Wow. Yeah. So it's like it's kind of like Piastri in Melbourne, I feel.
True, true. Okay. Yeah.
So watch out for him. I think he also like came out with a documentary on being the first driver to make it into F1. So I think he's working on that marketing. And, yeah. So hey,
I'm good sure on you, man. He's got, I mean, I'm sure the promotions in China are going off the walls right now.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he launches, you know, fashion brand. Oh, and speaking of launching new things, have you seen our boy Charles Leclerc, new ice cream?
Yeah, and he got a dog.
Oh, you got a dog. You got a puppy.
You got a dog. You got a puppy too.
Oh, what kind of puppy? Wait, did you get a small
golden retriever? I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about, Leclerc. All right. Ice cream puppy. Now it's time to get those wins.
Yeah. Well, speaking of wins, dude, you're trying to distract from getting to our predictions for the grandstand here.
Nah.
I have. So right now it's, I gotta say it. It's 107. My 107 to your 75 points, a nice little gap that I've built there. And well, my friend, it's your turn to go first on the predictions in the going into Shanghai.
I'm going to do something that has not worked out for me so far this season and change whatever I had written down before the episode. I'm going to go with Ferrari on pole. I'm going to go for Leclerc on pole.
Wow, okay.
Another risk. I know you're going to go for Max, but Max wins.
Okay.
Perez second. Mm-hmm. Leclerc third.
Mm-hmm.
Sainz fourth and Norris fifth. And okay. For the Gromo, this is going to hurt. And this is only because I want the points. I'm going to go for a Danny Rick.
Wow. Okay.
All I have right. to say that quickly before we yeah. let's move on. Yeah.
he can feel it on the other side of the world. His body trembles. He's like, Prashant, put me in the Gromo. I must call him. All right. I'm feeling a little risque this weekend. I feel like Max could have a shitty weekend personally.
Ooh, okay.
I really liked when he came out and said, I don't like the sprint format, which says to me, he doesn't have a lot of confidence going into Shanghai. Or I don't say he doesn't have a lot of confidence. He doesn't have the confidence that he would going into, like, say, Zandvoort. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you chose the home track for that one.
Yeah, the home track. So, you know what? I'm going to cover you on Charles. I'm taking a risk here. I'm going Checo for the win.
Oh, wow, I'll give you that, Knowles. Damn, fucking Knowles going for Checo.
Going Max P2. I'm kind of fucking myself right now.
That kind of just hurts just to look at that.
I know. I'm like, this doesn't feel right. I'm going to go Lando P4, Carlos P5. Actually, no. Sorry. 5-second rule. I'm going to go.
I was going to say, it's a close one, man.
Sainz and Lewis.
You covered me, didn't you, on Sainz, huh?
And then Gromo. Oof. I'm going Lance because of his stupid fucking radio messages in the last race.
Yeah, I was going to say new track surface. Who knows? Yeah. Someone could go spinning off into the pit lane.
I'm in the wall. I don't know if anybody's seen that music, that mashup of Max or Lance's radio from Australia. But brilliant. Just brilliant. I'm in the wall. Crybaby. We're so slow on the straights.
Oh, that's a little bit of like a Marge Simpson right there.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what he sounded like. But yeah, anyway, kind of we've got our predictions in, my friend.
Yes.
This is going to be fun. I'm excited for this weekend. I am going to be at the IndyCar Long Beach Grand Prix, a pretty historic race in its own right.
In
California. Great track, super fun. IMSA has a support race there, so I'm going to stick around and watch that. Their GTM series, I think it is. And those cars are loud.
Yeah.
TV does not do it justice. Indy cars are good, also sound great. I think the Indy car sounds better than an F1 car right now, but I've said that before. I'm excited. It's a big weekend for motorsport. We'll be doing a little bit of a, I'll do a little recap from Long Beach. It'll be fun. A little pre Indy 500, IndyCar action.
You'll be tailgating that, or like what's the situation there?
We're getting a house in Long Beach, and then we're getting a house in Long Beach Saturday night. And then probably, you know, start her up early on Sunday. You know, it's race weekend, dude. You gotta.
All right. Maybe expect a few drunken Knowles recordings. Yes. Noted.
I don't know. No, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see. But anyway, excited for China this weekend. Always a fun track. If you haven't already, make sure to follow us at the Grandstand F1 on the social media channels and give us a like. Follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are distributed for P Money. It's F Knowles. We'll catch you post China.